Hello and welcome back to the MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number two, Lou. It is so much easier when you say the name too. That's what I realized in the shower the other day, Ken. I was like, I'm not saying the name. I'm just saying dummy number two.
It's true.
It doesn't go. It's true. That's dummy number one, Ken. This is
Lou, hopefully... Is that a poem? Because that sounded like you were in like a haiku.
A bit of a haiku. Remember how stupid elementary school was where they would just force you to sit there and be like, hey, go write a poem.
Like, yeah, what the I was really good. About? You were very good at it, though.
Yeah, I'm very good at writing.
Yourself short.
No, I understand.
You've got a good little poetry action. Thank you.
I just thought it was stupid.
If you had some rhythm,
thank you.
You could be the new Vanilla Ice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel like there should be another activity for kids to do in school where they're like, hey, do this math problem, do this poetry. And if you're just like, no, just give them something else to do besides sit
there. Yeah, it's like give them a lesson on like how to alert the authorities if your father is gaslighting your mother, you know, like
Jesus Christ,
like all of those things.
All right, you can all go see president, like, kind of you can go see Principal AOC in her tax the rich shirt.
This is why the bourgeoisie need to have their heads cut off. You're right. There should be a second activity.
Yeah, very strange. I'm trying to look something up as I segue into this conversation.
Lou is vamping.
I don't know if this is what it is called. I don't think it is. But a long, long time ago, Ken and I basically grew up next to this mall center called the Smith Haven Mall.
The Sun Vet Mall.
Oh, you want the Sun Vet? I went to Smith Haven, mainly.
Oh, yeah.
Sunbet
was interesting. We didn't go to Smith Haven. Could you imagine my father in the Smith Haven Mall?
Luke, he'd be like,
we did not go to the mall. Okay,
too much commercialism.
The Sunbet Mall, which had a Toys R Us, and what was that store with the Mandy's that had a big teddy bear in the window? That's all I remember.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I also went to that one too. Toys R Us was a good place to get video games. I remember that. We had a yard sale one time. And I remember I was out there hawking some stuff to the locals, and then my parents were like, "Oh, if you sell this much stuff, we'll give you like $20." And then I used that money to buy backyard baseball for I think the Game Boy SP or something, whatever it was handheld at the time. Ken, I can't find it. But what I'm trying to get at is in the mall there used to be
for KB Toys?
Absolutely not. No, it was this like weird. It wasn't a comic book store, but it had like video games.
Did it have an orange logo?
No, it was like blue. Store in Smith Haven Mall. I don't know if I can find it, but what I'm getting at, it's not GameStop. Don't tell me it's GameStop. I know it's not GameStop. maybe we just call this the GameStop segment. Because what we're trying to accomplish here, maybe it was called Saturday Matinee. No, definitely not. What we're trying to get here, folks, is that
I love this right now. This path through your brain and
crazy.
Like the different stops on your trains of thought is like wild.
No one fucking took a picture of this place while I was still there.
He should have. Like, if you've got a partner, folks, if you're listening and you've got a partner and you know, like, sometimes when they're telling you a story or like when they're trying to like figure out a problem and you can see their brain as it like operates, and like you can kind of see the smoke coming out of their ears at certain points. And like, that's what I just experienced with Lou. Like, that was a lot of fun for me. I enjoyed it.
It's crazy. They're trying to tell me Sunrise Mall. No, it's not Sun or Sunbet Mall.
Whatever. No.
What I'm getting at here is that Ken and I are trying to branch off here and have our own conversation, likely weekly, bi-weekly basis, on just like the state of nerddom, fandom. I don't want to like hate on the nerds, because the nerds, I feel like they don't get their day in court. And now the world is run by the nerds. But there's a lot of good movies that are coming out. There's a lot of good video games that are coming out. One of the best parts about the internet is that you can just go hide and go play in this little like world of yours. You don't have to be like part of the general consensus that, you know, used to exist on like primetime TV. There's just so much out there. So Ken and I wanted to just, you know, riff a little bit about what's coming out. Some MCU items, some not.
Naturally.
And just talk about, you know, like all the exciting stuff that is on the horizon. So in our last recorded podcast, we talked about some of the What If episodes. Go check that out if you have the time to do so. Ken mentioned a couple of movies that are coming out. Ken believes that the back half of 2021 is going to be very strong. So Ken, why don't you lead us into that conversation about yes, Marvel related, but what are some of the things, TV and movie, that you're most looking forward to for the remainder of this year or that you know is coming next year?
Yeah, it's obviously it's hard not to mention the Marvel stuff, right? Because we know that we've got, like, even Shang-Chi is pretty, still pretty fresh, right? When it come out 20 days ago, 15 days ago, somewhere in
earlier this month,
those worlds.
Yeah.
But like, you look at like the slate of movies, including the Marvel, you know, like the Marvel related Venoms or the Spider-Man No Way Homes, or even looking early into 2022 with Multiverse of Madness, et cetera, et cetera. Eternals, which I always forget, which I know is going to be like a real banger.
Yeah.
But like, the other slate of movies led by Hotel Transylvania Transformania is going to be so good. I'm kidding.
Sorry. You got to. Oh, okay. I was going to say, you got to tell us more about that one.
No, that's, I think that's the fourth movie in that, that series that Adam Sandler voices the titular vampire in. I don't even know.
He should be a vampire. Anyway, I think that's like,
I think he might be, Lou. I think he might be.
Yeah.
But like, Malignant just came out. I have not seen it yet. I'm very excited to eat Many Saints of Newark. I make fun of it, but it is going to be a good movie. Like, you're not going to be able to take that away. I will. I'll go see it. Absolutely.
For those listening, that is the prequel, right? Of yes. The Sopranos.
Correct. Correct. A Sopranos story, quote unquote.
There's a market out there.
And it's one of those where, like, if you were a fan of the TV show, or you just like kind of the lore of mobsters, et cetera, it'll be a fun. It's going to be. I make fun of it a lot because I don't like prequels a whole lot. Prequels kind of they bother me in like the sense of like come up with something new.
Yeah.
But you know, it'll be fun. Like I mentioned on another podcast, obviously you've got No Time to Die, the last James Bond movie with what's his name, Daniel Craig. That one will be fun. It was originally supposed to come out like a year and a half ago. Like, this has been pushed and pushed and pushed. The Watcher, Mr. Jeffrey Wright, is in this film.
He's part of the CIA. He does
everything, this guy. Jeffrey Wright is in.
He's
in
the
lot
last,
of stuff.
In the last pod we were also talking about, I mentioned I'm about to wrap up The Last of Us Part 2. Yes, no one can spoil this game for me, okay? It's everywhere. Even like the fucking new Kirby that was announced in the Nintendo Direct today. It looks like it's out of The Last of Us. It's Kirby going through like a world that is covered in foliage that is like ruined. I don't know what the point of this is. And someone was like, ha, this looks like The Last of Us, dot, dot, dot. And I was like, nope, X out. No one is going to ruin this game for me. But there is a character that is in charge of this like militia, and he's played by Jeffrey Wright too. So the man is everywhere.
How about that? The man's
very
everywhere.
Versatile.
He literally is everywhere.
Yeah,
you've got the second in the of the new trio of Halloween movies. I believe Halloween Kills with your girl Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, generally underrated and undervalued in our society. You've got Last Duel, directed by Ridley Scott. You've got Dune, which is going to be a fucking monster of a film.
Where do you stand on that?
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you know anything about it at all?
No. I tried to read it a long time ago. My brother was, you know,
he's
like,
a doomster.
I don't even know if he read Dune. But he said, "Hey, you got to read this." And I tried, but boy was it over my head.
Okay.
And
I've tried to read Dune once. And as an adult, and I got through like 100 pages and I was like, "Honestly, I do not understand what's going on." So I restarted it like 8 months later. And now I've probably got it up to like 300 pages and I don't see it.
Know what's going on?
I don't know. Like, I get it. I get the gist of it. But, like, I heard this, like, there was a podcast guest I listened to one time, and he was like, Dune is, like, the best book you could ever read about, like, leadership and, like, a character development, like, of the main character. And I just don't see it. I don't get it. And
I
then
hear all of those things, and I think I would be better suited by just going to see the movie. I gotta be honest with you.
What I heard about the movie is that it's, like, just a lot. Like, just a lot that's going on. And then the end is, like, crazy. And it's just, like, a big cliffhanger. And they're basically, like, setting it up for a potential, like, second movie.
Yeah, it's
going to
have
but
a
there's,
bunch, I would think.
I mean, if they go off of the book thing. But I feel like it took them so much to get this first one out.
Yeah.
And there's no talks about getting a second one. I would have just, I don't know. We'll have to see what it comes out. But I think I'll see it. I might just watch it at home. I don't know if I'll go see it in the movie theater. But
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those. It's gonna be one of those. Just go see in the movie. It's gonna be like an experience to see in the movies. I think I think I'll enjoy that.
Yeah.
You've got Sandworm.
You'd be a big Sandworm
fan. And even though Dennis Villanueva, I don't even know how to say his last name, and I apologize for that, Dennis. But he's being a dick about Marvel movies now, just like everybody else. That's just how they do it. Promote their own shit. Last Night in Soho, an Edgar Wright film, in also, I believe, in November. Antlers, which is going to be so stupid, like just a bad horror movie that I'm very excited about. Supernatural thriller type situation. Harder They Fall, Idris Elba, and Jonathan Majors are both in that one.
When are we going to get our next A26 movie?
A24. That's a good question. I know they were in the midst of trying to sell. Didn't they sell to Apple?
I don't know.
Did they end up? Let me. Did Apple buy a? I think they sold. I think they.
They explored.
And they're only asking for $2.5 or $3 billion, which is a lot of money. But like for a studio of that recognition, that's not that much.
Hold on, because I have something that I want to check this. Okay, Amazon bought MGM TV for how much? I'm glamping right now.
A lot.
But was it more than $3 billion?
Yeah.
Like a lot more than $3 billion?
Yes.
How much did Amazon?
8.45 billion.
So $8 billion for James Bond, basically.
Yes.
Okay, they got the James Bond franchise that they should just splinter out into like diverse characters. We should get somebody of color. We should get a woman.
$8.5 billion.
And then A24, you're paying for, I guess.
Anything.
I mean, yeah. Do they have exclusive rights to the directors?
I'm sure they have contracts in place, or you know, the money people, the exec producers, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm sure they do. I'd have to assume they do, but
I mean, Hereditary is at least worth a billion there. Just kidding.
Right, throw them a bill. Throw them a bill for Ari Aster and call it a day.
I've been wanting to Photoshop your photo and then put like the mom in the corner, but I don't know if that's gonna be like. Okay, because I'm concerned for your mental health after that.
We need to do that in a place that I don't live.
I might send that to Leo Rydell, because just like I'll just Photoshop Leo. I'll make it like really dark, the photo, and then just put the mom in the corner just standing there.
I need that to be in a place like Lou, I would die if you did that. And especially because this is my place of work. Okay. I work here. And if terrifying. All day long I gotta look over my friggin' shoulder and I think there's a woman crawling in the corner of my house, I'd be freaking out.
Imagine your mom was up in the corner.
Jesus, that's even scarier.
That'd be terrifying. All right, let's get back movie thing.
Anyway,
so there's a lot of good movies coming out.
I read a bunch out. There's a bunch more, including West Side Story, even though it's kind of like got like a weird rapist guy like leading the ticket there. We don't really have to talk about that. Ansel Elgort, I believe is his name. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Been in Baby. He was the titular character in Baby
Maddie
Driver.
Ziegler. You know anything about Maddie Ziegler?
I don't.
So Maddie Ziegler is like the faux adopted child of Lady Gaga. In a lot of Lady Gaga's like most popular music videos, which have like over a billion views on YouTube, Maddie Ziegler, who's only 18, is the star of those videos. It's like the Chandelier song that has like 5 billion views. Maddie, as like a child, is beautifully dancing like ballerina-esque throughout this video, and like basically a one cut, like she's an absolute superstar. And it's funny because a lot of people think that Maddie is Lady Gaga. So like in public they're like, oh, that's her. But if you've ever seen Lady Gaga, she's older, she's in her 40s, she does not look like Maddie Ziegler at all. Maddie Ziegler, very interesting, was recently in a movie called Music. Had you heard anything about that?
It doesn't click for me.
Okay, Music Okay, so the description says Zoo is newly sober when she receives news that she is to become the sole guardian of her half-sister named Music, a young girl on the autism spectrum. The film explores two of Sia's favorite themes, finding your voice and creating a family. This one was a little controversial because it had basically a child actress playing mm-hmm. somebody who had autism, and some people felt like it was not done justice. And some people felt like she was just kind of set up for like, oh, it's a good idea. You'll do great at it. So I know that rubbed some people the wrong way.
It's giving me the heebie-jeebies.
An 8% on Rotten Tomatoes. But it's one of those like recent, like, because I do think like stories are important, and especially like, you know,
yeah.
autism. Like that's like, I think an important story, but to do that story right is challenging. So that,
yes,
I just felt like telling you there. Also, Leslie Odom Jr. was in it, so
yeah. How about that? Yeah, and I think we mentioned on a different podcast, and I, Lou, I want to get to your side of things. This is what I'm excited about. Obviously, there's some really good TV out there too, which I'm still watching and still excited about. But I tomorrow hopefully am going to go hate watch the adaptation of Dear Evan Hansen. A Broadway musical, which won many times, I think 6 Tonys, Tony Award winning Ben Platt, who played the lead on Broadway, is playing the lead in the movie. Now, remember this, please remember that this Broadway show came out in 2016, and he was 23.
Yeah, he's so old now.
When the musical came out.
Is this one of those?
It is now 2021, Lou, and he's 28, and he's still playing a character in high school.
Yeah, very strange. Is this going to, like, the adaptation, will it be like a Hairspray where it's, like, true movie, or will it be like a Greatest Showman where it's, like, it looks like a play, but, like, in a movie format?
Yeah, Lou, I have no fucking clue. And I am very excited to find out. Have heard terrible, terrible, terrible things.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if people forget. Like some of the stuff I've read is about how problematic it is and because of the way the story is portrayed and the writing and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm almost hesitant to agree with that. I mean, I do. The way that the story is written is bad. I mean, there's not a redeemable character in the whole thing, minus maybe Evan's mom, played, I believe, by Julianne Moore, who can do no wrong. But like, I'm struggling to find where these where are the folks who think this is a problematic movie. It's a bad script. Et cetera, et cetera. Where were you the last 5 years? It's always been this bad.
Yeah.
Right. So like, this isn't news that it's a problematic script, but I understand that now it's going to be a movie. So like, you know, it's got revamped criticism, I suppose. And I also suppose that not everybody can go see the show on Broadway. Right. Like I forget as a native New Yorker and like having like, as somebody who likes to go to the theater, I forget that like, it's not accessible to everybody, right? So,
yeah.
Like, I've seen Dear Evan Hansen. I actually haven't seen it. I YouTubed it, okay? I watched it on YouTube. It was under the title, like, High School Slime Tutorial. But I would still like to see the play. And I have tickets to go see it in Greensboro, North Carolina, in about a month or a couple of months. Anyway, I forget that theater shows aren't as accessible as movies and TV shows. So not everybody's seen it. So maybe now that they've seen it on the big screen, maybe now it's a revamped or realigned story view of how problematic it is. And it is, and I agree with you, but it's not new to me, so I'm not shocked by it. It's just going to be bad, though. I mean, I don't know if Julianne Moore can sing. You know?
Wasn't she in, like, the Hoedown Throwdown movie, what is it? Footloose?
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's Julianne Hough.
Yeah, that's not Julianne
Hough. That's the wrong one.
So, yeah. So, like, I don't know who in that movie can sing, and maybe they, like, had other people sing for them, but I don't know how that's going to work either. And so, like, I think it's going to be more Les Mis than Greatest Showman, because like people in The Greatest Showman were very talented. They could sing, they could dance, they could act.
Zendaya, Zac Efron.
People in
Hugh Jackman.
People in Dear Evan Hansen, Julianne Moore, for instance, very good actress, can do no wrong, but there's a song that she's got a belt and it's like the most emotional moment of the movie or show, and I'm horrified to learn what that might sound like.
All good points, Ken. You'll have to tell us about this next week when we transition to
Excited. Lou, tell me what you're buying these days. I know you're a chapter away.
Let me transition from your space into my space. Not my space from back in the day, but tell me how not excited you are about the Mario movie that was just announced to come out today. If you are listening to this, Nintendo is coming out with a Mario movie. It seems like it is going to be a character-driven animated movie. It will not be live adapted, but they are shelling out the big bucks for this cast in 2022. Chris Pratt slated to be the voice of Mario.
And you lost me.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to find what is her name? Anna Taylor-Joy as Peach, recently the star of Queen's Gambit. Charlie Day from Always Sunny as Luigi. Jack Black from insert movie that you watch when you feel sick because you need something comfort is Bowser.
School of Rock. Keegan
Michael Key as Toad, and Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. And there are a couple other ones. I saw a photo. I do not know if it's accurate, where somebody said Nick Cage is going to be Wario. I don't know if that's true, but this could be something fun. It's going to be a year from now, in like next December. So I don't know if it's going to be like, hey, let's go try it out. But historically, these like video game adapted movies, like Sonic or Pikachu or whatever, they just never end up being good.
Now, Detective maybe this will be different. I will say Detective Pikachu was actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Well, did it have a strong third act?
Yeah, it was a little bit too CGI driven, though.
They couldn't get a real Pikachu out there.
They couldn't get a real Pikachu.
Bastards.
I will say I'm not excited. I don't understand the video game adaptations as movies. I don't like maybe that like. I don't know. The video games I play are like NHL and the show and Madden. So like, I guess mine are yourself adapted.
Repetition.
Right. And so like mine are adapted to TV every night that I watch them on TV. But like, I don't get why you want this. If you're a Mario fan, like if they did like a parody movie of like Mario Party and like they just ran around and play mini games like the whole time, that would be awesome. Yeah. But they're gonna like try and make a story out of this, like, and like it's not gonna be good.
I wonder what like, the story is gonna be. It could be some rendition of Peach.
Oh, what do you think? What do you
taken
think?
By
you think
Bowser
takes Peach, and then what? And then what happens? Find
her.
Yeah, it's and then like Chris, why?
Is he gonna sound like an Italian? Everyone's gonna sound so offended over that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I don't like it. I'm sure I'll go see it because it's going to be hilarious.
I already got the girlfriend on board. She's like, I'll go see this with you without me even like mentioning that. So I guess I'm already in there. And they're like,
that's a win, man. You take that and run with it.
Well, that would be interesting.
How about you? Where are you at with this?
Ken, there's a lot of
grab.
There's a lot of so if done correctly and they just don't talk about it that often, it has the chance to like sneak up on me and be one of those like, oh, okay, this is coming out next month, cool. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I'm hoping this plays out, where I forget about it and then November comes around and I'm like, oh, I forgot this is here.
That makes sense.
But I think it's gonna have a lot of like head scratching up until the point it comes out. So I don't know, it's fun. I like that we exist in this place where we could just have more, and it's like, here you go, have this Mario movie with Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I think it'll be whatever. But like, I just don't understand the Chris Pratt thing.
Parks and Rec, Guardians of the Galaxy, basically was the fault of Thanos snapping the world away, but we don't talk about that. And then now he gets to be Mario. So we'll see how it goes. But in the video game space, also just staying on the Marvel topic, there's a lot of good stuff that's set to be coming out. There's just a lot of heaping pile of caca. Okay, heaping pile of caca. Guardians of the Galaxy game,
I don't think you can say that without an age restriction.
Looks terrible. Okay.
Does it?
Viewer discretion is advised. Yeah, because here's the thing. It's like, okay, let's start with the worst. There's a Marvel Avengers game on like all the major consoles, which is basically just like, hey, play this and then buy some stuff and you know, get that going. They try to be cool with it. They're like, oh, here's Black Panther and such. They have like slight renditions of the characters. Like it looks like Thor. It looks like Steve Rogers, Captain America, but they got voice actors. So the game wasn't made with love. It was just made to get like money out of people. And it's just beat him up bad guy on like a massive scale. So really unfortunate, but whatever. Then you got Guardians of the Galaxy, which will be a story-driven game where you have to do missions and do all that type of stuff. I just don't, it's just an odd choice of game here, because I don't know, like the Guardians world is just so, it's not like a cohesive story in my opinion enough to like pull threads out and, you know, have that be its own thing. I'm not looking forward to that. But on the other side, like Spider-Man, that's a great example of like how a game has so much that you can set up for and then make it into like a narrative driven story, which we've seen from the original Spider-Man video game. I mentioned that on the pod before. If you thought No Way Home is going to be a star-studded lineup in the Spider-Man video game, you literally fight like every bad guy is part of the narrative. And it's incredible. Fantastic story. Miles Morales, another fantastic game too. But for all of the lackluster efforts that we get from Guardians of the Galaxy and the really shitty Marvel Avengers, we get the potential of a new blockbuster of Wolverine, which is the first real like MCU, like, hey, we're doing it.
We have X-Men. Yep.
Yeah. Trailer that we got, which looks sick. And then an updated Spider-Man, which is going to feature Peter Parker, Spider-Man from Queens, and then Miles Morales, that we saw in the latest one. And then some Venom in that game too. So really cool stuff that's coming out. I think if you're a fan of like anything Marvel related or just like in general, like want more out of, you know, your fandom, it's a great time to be a part of that space, because
now
it's so much more than just like Tumblrs. Like I think like in high school, like you sit on Tumblr, you sit on Reddit, and someone might have draw, like they may have, you know, draw, they drew something nice and you said, okay, cool, upvote. But now there's so much that you can like go dive back into this world. It's a great time to just be in your own little space. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
I wanted to ask, because I know you've kind of started down this path before, and like, you know me, like we just said, like I like to repeat myself with video games that are stupid. I would like to not do that, but I'd like to know how to do that. How'd you get yourself started in like in on that side of things, and like how'd you like go from, yeah, I like to simulate seasons of the show and then sign free agents and play with them once and then simulate the season again and then sign free agents and play with them once, et cetera, et cetera. How'd you go from that to, I want to do like an anachronistic game where like I have like a storyline that I got to follow?
Yeah. So it started with getting the PlayStation 5 because they forced you with the bundle to pick a game. So it was either Spider-Man Miles Morales, Demon's Souls, which is one of the highest rated games out there, but was just too much for me, like not ready for that yet. At some point, yes, but not yet. And then Sackboy and Big Adventure, which is also a really good game, but I'm just like, I can't play Sackboy. So I picked Spider-Man Miles Morales, and that got me into this whole like, okay, you can, you know, explore this open world and then also have you know, like this character and this story being told, but also like doing stuff, which I found amazing. So that got me started. And then when you get PlayStation Online, they give you access to like their best greatest hits games for free. So you get God of War, you get Horizon Zero Dawn, you get The Last of Us Part 1, which is going to be transitioned into an HBO series, which is going to likely be very good. Big fan of that. So you get a lot of these games for free. They're already out there. Like all of the classics are... Mm-hmm. And they've all been remastered with these new systems. Like they're already there to go play. Like you don't need any other expense or such. I think like just picking a game and then realizing like how much like lore and hick history goes into them, and like how much content there already is on YouTube from like years back of just people reacting to certain things and having their own opinions is like what makes this like so much fun. Like video game essays, I find very soothing and relaxing. Like I watch them when I have to like do like work, because it's just like someone nicely talking into my ear. But there's like a good video for like 2 hours where someone's just breaking down the history of Grand Theft Auto. And you don't get many of those games, right? They've been around for two decades. They're almost 3 decades, and there's only been five of them. So like when they come out, it's a big deal, and it doesn't happen often. And it's fun to like play into this whole like, this is a moment. This is a big thing. It's exciting to be a part of.
And now, like we've talked about it a bunch. We don't really know a lot about these characters. Like, is it easy for you to get into those games? Like, even though they're established characters in like an established universe, because that's where I think my holdup is. Like, I would love to play Spider-Man games, but like, I don't know if I'm going to have enough fun because I don't know enough about Spider-Man. I don't know enough about the villains. I don't know enough about like the lore, et cetera, et cetera. I just know he's Spider-Man and he does what he does in the movies, right? Like, that's what I know. But like, how do you get past that to just like enjoying the game?
I won't say it clicks all the time. Spider-Man definitely is an outlier because that game won Game of the Year. And also, I think if you buy the Miles Morales game, they give you the Spider-Man like regular Peter Parker version for free. So that's another thing too. Like, there's a lot of this like combining games together where you get one and then you also get the other. So I find that really interesting and cool. For games like Spider-Man, I mean, they do set you up. If you view these video games like TV shows or movies, then you'll have no problem. Like, a lot of them are like narrative driven. They're telling you a story. They're not like Skyrim or Grand Theft Auto, where it's like, here's the deal, go explore the world. There, you can do a billion things and get lost in this for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
There is a flow to it. Like, there are acts to it. Like, there is structure to this game, and that's what helps it make good.
So, are you telling me that the third act is good?
The third act in the Spider-Man game is tremendous because it's crazy and the way the story goes. It's very moving. I've talked a little bit about that in a past podcast with the Aunt May rendition of the movie. But yeah, I think they're tons of fun. I mean, I think the Spider-Man one's definitely an easy one to get into. There's so many of these amazing games that are just like free already on like the PlayStation Store. You just download the game for free, and you get to play this amazing thing that someone's built their entire life around online,
right?
Like fanning over for so long.
It is cool. It is cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It also started with like Zelda too, like Zelda, Mario. Like I feel like these games get shoved down our throats a lot, but you know, there's only been a new one like 6 or 7 times in the last 3 to 4 decades. It's like they don't happen that often.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
So,
Lou, what else are you excited about in the nerd world? Are you like, how are you feeling about Venom versus like Spider-Man No Way Home? How are you feeling about the Batman? I don't think that's due to come out until 2022 at some point, but like how are you feeling about all this stuff comic book movie wise? Let's bring it back to the central idea here. Like you talked about the comic book video games, we talked about the comic book TV shows, right? What If and Disney Plus and whatever, and we know Star Wars, the Book of Boba Fett is on the way, and The Mandalorian season 3 is on the way, et cetera, et cetera. How you feel? Like, are you excited? Like, like we talk about this a lot. Like, it's easy to get yourself like overhyped about certain things and then like forget to care about them. But like, how are you feeling? Are you excited or are you just like, man?
I want to be more excited about the Star Wars thing, but Star Wars Visions just came out, which is this, it's a Japanese adaptation of Star Wars. So it's like, you know, what you might see in like a manga series or like anime, and then adapted to Star Wars. And they got Simu Liu from Shang-Chi in it. They got David Harbour in it. They got Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So, but like, there's just so much. They got Neil Patrick Harris in it. There's just so much Star Wars stuff that I feel like I don't know what I need to watch. I just know I need to watch The Mandalorian. But I even tried Bad Batch and I was like, this is cool. The first couple episodes are fun. The first episode is amazing because it's like 55 minutes and it like pretty much recaps what happened with the Clone Wars until now. So that's really good. But then the rest of them are just like serialized TV shows. So overall not a huge fan. But there's like there's so much good stuff. I just think that I want like everything to be taken care of with care, if that makes sense. Like the Batman, we can have a new Batman every 5-10 years, but like just do it good. Like we saw that with the Christian Bale. Like you can do this well if you actually like give a shit about it. Are you not a Ben Affleck Batman?
No, I thought Batfleck was fine, and I think Mr. Pattinson is going to do it justice.
I wish
we're on Robert Pattinson now. I hope that more studios account for the way that Marvel did Spider-Man Homecoming. We know who Spider-Man is. I don't need another Uncle Ben dying story. I don't need another guy gets bit by a spider story, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. And I think they're doing the same thing with like this Robert Pattinson film. Like we don't need to see Bruce's parents die again. We don't need to see Bruce learn how to be the Batman again. Like, sure. Like you want to take like a younger, more raw Batman and like, you know, some of the troubles he goes through and becoming Batman, et cetera. Like that's totally fine, but don't give me this like, you know, back to basics, his parents die.
Yeah. Very same sad. Story, just different look. Like,
we don't need to do that again. Yeah. We know it. And I don't know. I think I feel the same way about other things too, but there are a lot of stories that I don't know that I want to know. Like Shang-Chi, I didn't know anything about that story. So like you need that level, right? But you don't need that level with Spider-Man. And honestly, you don't need that level with the Fantastic Four, and I'm nervous that's where we're headed. I don't think you need a pure origin story for them. Everybody knows the Fantastic Four.
I think they'll do it justice. I don't think they'll do
this. There's one guy who can stretch. There's one guy who's on fire. There's one guy who looks like a fucking boulder, and there's a hot lady.
What I can see is like the invisible. Fantastic Four just like already established. From like day one.
That's what I think they need. Like if they go back like pure origin story, that's going to be a stinker.
Yeah, and we see that a lot with like the normal X-Men, where we have to tell that like we are mutants and everybody doesn't like us.
Let's see how they introduce them, right? I mean, that's the fun part of where Marvel is right now, is they can do anything they want really and retcon mutants into existing because of X, Y, and Z, or they can come up with a way to legitimately make mutants, right?
Like, what I would like to see is like introducing mutants in Fantastic Four and like already established storylines.
Yes.
And me just too, saying, like, man. Here is this person.
I think that's the way they should go. But if they turned around tomorrow and in like, I don't know, pick a movie in the next slate, like an Earthbound movie in the next slate. Like if in Captain America 4, they said like, oh, that super soldier serum turned into like the mutant serum, and we tested it on a bunch of people, and here's this old guy who can now like, you know, see into people's brains. Like that works for me.
I agree. It's a good point. I hope studios will learn about also like what Marvel has done, where they just have these like banger movies and then TV shows, and like begin to start serializing this IP property that's already been out
there. I think the thing Marvel does best is they don't treat their audience like they're stupid.
Yeah. Except we are the dummies.
We are dummies.
Yeah.
But we don't need to, like, you don't need on the screen to tell us that 2 + 2 = 4. We know that already. We still don't know all the ways to get to 4. You don't need to tell us 2 + 2. We know that. But if you wanted to start with 18 minus 14 gets us to 4, we'd all be like, oh, fuck, that's cool.
Honestly, you know who does a good job at that? The James Bond movies. From day one, he's a spy. Okay, he's a spy. You know he wears nice suits. Like, there's no, like, background into what he was as a kid. The story is not about James and who he is. It's just it's James and what he does.
Yes.
And I think a lot of movies can learn from that.
I think so too, man. Indiana Jones, to name another.
Yeah. Star Wars, another bad example of, hold on, we have to, it's like the person at work that you ask a simple question and they have to tell you like the whole story about how they got to that. It's just like, just give me the answer.
Jane, just give me the answer, Jane. Just send me the email, please. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Luke, I think that's
We got to wrap it here, but I need to know really quick. Venom Let There Be Carnage comes out soon. 20 days, the 15th, I believe, of October. There has been a rumor about a super crazy post-credit scene. Give me a prediction. What do you think the post-credit scene on Venom Let There Be Carnage is? Do you think it is a tie-in to Spider-Man, or do you think it's something else?
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't know.
I don't know. I this is the first time I'm hearing that, but you know, the last credit scene from Venom was the one that set this one up, visiting Woody Harrelson in the jail. So could they set up another Venom 3? I don't think
so. The rumor at the moment is coming from a fan screening in the UK that there is a post-credit scene that'll blow your mind. Although all of the journalists who have seen the movie have said that there is no post-credit scene. But I don't believe that.
I don't believe them. There's stuff we know the embargo works.
Right.
We know that works. Maybe they drop a Jonathan Majors. I don't know. How crazy would that be if he just like in the next four movies, he was just the post-credit scene and it just like it was just like him doing different things. I forgot how cool
post-credit scenes are.
In movies are cool. Yeah, I love when people get up and there's always that one person in the movie theaters. It's like, why is everybody leaving? Don't they know this is Marvel?
Was their first movie? Yeah. That's me sometimes, depending on how many drinks.
We should make that as a t-shirt. Like, first time. And it's like a black movie screen that has the credits going and like two people standing up. Out. Yeah, it's a silhouette of two heads and they're all sitting there and it's like two heads getting up and it's this movie screen and then the guy's like, first time.
I like that. We're going to have merch. We're going to have merch and that's going to be the first one up there.
Could be. We're going to sell diapers. Maybe not. Maybe not.
I could use, honestly, the way I'm trending, I could use one sooner rather than later.
All right. Let's close this one out. RIP to the store in the Smith Haven Mall that I could not remember this time. I remember it had a big globe in it, but we're going to work on a name for the series. It could be called Nerd Corner. It could be called Fandom. I don't know. Fandom Central. We'll have to see how this one plays out. But I am dummy number two, Lou. That is dummy number one, Ken, who needs a diaper for various reasons that we will not go into for this discussion. Listen to our What If podcast, Thor, Party Boy Thor, and What If Killmonger. Spoiler alert, killed Iron Man.
They combined.
We didn't think it would. We put the chocolate and the peanut butter together.
And now here we are, baby. Rich.
A good mix. All right. Have a good night, everyone. Get home safe.